Today's a bit of a melancholy day, isn't it?
In a way, yeah. A little bittersweet.
Bittersweet.
Not really melancholy. The weather's a little melancholy, but at least the temperature's right. We finally got a spring.
We're not going to have snow this week. It's amazing. For like the first time since, like, I don't know, Trump's presidency began or something.
It feels that way.
Unbelievable. But this is episode 28 of Upon Further Review with
the Podcast Profs.
And you are still
Soren Fanning, your friendly neighborhood historian.
There you go. And I am still Anthony Moretti, who I guess cannot claim the label friendly neighborhood communicator, journalist.
Based on how you walked in the room today, definitely not.
Oh, no. I came in here ready to go.
This is the fired up, ready to go edition.
Let's do it. This is the caffeinated Moretti edition. And that voice that you just heard, and it is important that we hear that voice again because, unfortunately, today is the last day that we have John Roland at the controls.
And I'll tell you honestly, I will miss it.
So we will miss you.
Because he wants to do that graduation thing.
Well, he certainly earned it.
No, he's earned it. Shoot. So, students in that program?
Yeah.
Those AXI students, they earn it, all right? So, they earn it.
Mazel tov, well done. Much earned.
We will see you on May the 6th if we don't see you in between.
You will not see me on
May the
6th.
You're not going to commencement.
Nope.
Is this your choice?
Yep.
Are your parents upset?
Maybe, but I could talk them out of it, so.
Is your girlfriend upset?
No. We mutually agreed not to walk.
Because?
Neither of us wanted to.
Well, that's good reason.
Yep. I won't be there either.
That's fair enough. Interesting. That's good. Okay. But anyhow, this is the fired up edition.
Yes.
Well, actually, you came up with a better title for this one. Because although, yes, I am fired up because of some of the people that need to get, how do we put this? Their clocks
adjusted.
Cleaned. Adjusted. Yes.
Adjusted. By the way, I have to say, when you walked in the studio door, I have never seen you walk that fast. It was still technically a walk, but
it was
you were like power walking.
I was power, because I didn't want to be late.
Well, no. Well, that, and you had sort of a Kool-Aid Man, oh yeah, sort of look about yourself.
It's like, let's go, right? So the term that you came up with for this one that I do like better than the Moretti is really fired up edition, all right, is
words matter.
And Lord, in the last couple of weeks, have they. So,
but we got 2 weeks to get out. So
I know. We may have to go an hour today. You okay with that, John?
Absolutely.
All right. We may have to do an hour just because there's a lot of stuff to talk about. We are going to end this podcast, by the way, with our summer predictions. All right.
Indeed. And I have no idea what I'm predicting, so I'm looking forward to
this. Oh, you're going to wing your predictions. Hey, you never know. I mean, those could be as successful.
I thought you had a prepared list.
Oh, I've got a few things we're going to. Yeah. Right. Definitely. It's not going to be just, so what's going to happen on June 5th? No kind of thing. No, it's going to be a little bit more structured than that.
But the sun will rise in the east.
That's it. But let's begin in California, where often some very good things happen and some very moronic things happen. Now, before we get to the issue we really need to talk about.
Spoiler alert, it's moronic.
It's moronic, with a capital M, yes. All right? Potentially equally moronic is that the idea to advance a Cal exit along the lines of Brexit.
Well, we got to talk about Brexit, too.
Yeah, we got to talk about Brexit.
This little discussion, but yeah.
Yes, we do. There are signatures being gathered now in the state of California to present a referendum to the voters out there,
God,
as to whether it ought to abandon United States, not citizenship.
Membership.
And
can't
instead go it alone as an independent entity. Now, let's
I have to do my George H. Bush here. Can't do it.
Let's set aside the legality of it for a minute, all right? Because you're going to explain the why they can't do it. But it is, I think, yes.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, yeah.
But it is absolutely stupid for the people of California, as it would be for the people of Texas, to suggest that they want to secede from the union and become their own country. It's just a stupid idea. Now, you explain why it's also an illegal idea.
Well, you know, we kind of fought a really big war in the 1860s about this to settle the issue, and you can't leave.
You can't leave.
Simple as that. It is illegal to secede from the country. You may not do so.
There, that solves it.
There you go. I mean, the closest any state gets, Texas does have a special clause. Mm-hmm. But contrary to the 10-gallon hat dreams of the sovereign citizen movement,
mm-hmm.
They do not have the right to leave the union. They could, if they so desired, spontaneously break up to five new states,
mm-hmm.
which would be, you know, North Texas, South Texas, East Texas, West Texas, and I don't know, Austin.
I mean, you know, I was going to use a different word, but that's okay.
You know, something like that.
And really hot.
Yeah. But they can't leave the country.
The union, yes.
And we were talking, speaking of Brexit, by the way, you know, everyone, while I completely agree with your initial statement, if you remember back to the tender days of 2016,
mm-hmm.
when we were talking about this, on the one hand, no, you don't hold a new vote just because you didn't like the results of the other one. That's
Precisely.
Not how democracy works.
Precisely.
Now, that said, the Brexit vote was a non-binding referendum. It was basically mm-hmm. a giant national expensive opinion poll
mm-hmm.
that even the supporters of Brexit didn't expect or really want it to pass.
Mm-hmm.
The reason you know this
mm-hmm.
is because Nigel Bloody Farage, the head of UKIP, the UK Independence Party,
who, and just for those of you who do not know, the UKIP party is, how do we put this politely?
It is.
The far right party of the UK? Is that putting it politely?
That's a modest.
With all of the baggage that comes with being a far right party, how about that? And all the ideology.
You know, I'd say they're almost Cromwellian, but they would have supported Charles.
To Cromwell.
Yeah, they would have supported Charles.
But go ahead.
But they are the extreme isolationist, xenophobic, nationalist.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you want to call it.
Losers.
If they'd been serious about wanting Brexit, you would think that would have been Nigel Farage's greatest moment, his moment of triumph.
Mm-hmm.
What does he do? He quits.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so clearly they didn't want this either. So if Britain were to hold another vote saying, okay, this one counts, guys, that actually isn't a bad thing to do, mainly because I don't think you're going to see Britain ever actually fully exit the EU.
Except, while I agree with everything you've said there, except I would say this, every move that has been made since then by, for about 6 seconds, David Cameron, and since then, Theresa May, has been along the lines of, that's fine, whether this is binding or not is irrelevant, it has happened, we are leaving the EU. And so,
yeah,
again, with soft Brexit, hard Brexit, I get all that. So for anyone to suggest...
They've taken literally no steps in 2 years.
Right, because in reality, what they're trying to say is, please go easy on us, because some of our people made a decision that they probably shouldn't have made. And that's too bad. You can't go back and repeat, you know, gee, we didn't like this decision, so let's go ahead and you know, change it. It doesn't work that way.
Whoa. I'm actually going to back you up. Canada's had numerous referenda on Quebec leaving Canada.
And every one of those has turned out to be majority stay.
Yes, but I'm just saying people do hold these after periods of time.
Agreed. So, and if Quebec ever wants to leave Canada, go for it.
Well, they're idiots.
Yeah, but go for it.
No, not Quebecois in general, but if Quebec wants to leave Canada, that would be extraordinarily foolish.
Much like if the Californians want to leave the Union, go for it.
Exactly.
Except it's illegal. Now,
can I get to one of my predictions early?
Sure.
I predict that in 50 years, when you and I are in the same nursing home and still trying to pull this podcast together, we're going to be talking.
We'll still be looking for Roland to bail us out.
But I think we're still going to be talking about how technically Britons have been in the process of exiting the EU for 50 years.
See, I don't think this is going to be. I'll go to one of my predictions. I think this is going to move forward and lead to something final in March of next year. I do believe that there will be some sort of exit of the UK. Probably a benign exit. I think at the end
of the day. So like leaving the EU but remaining in the European Economic.
Something, yes.
Union.
Something. Yeah. You know, sort of like.
Soft Brexit.
A soft Brexit. I don't see it being a complete divorce because I think it would absolutely be destructive and disruptive for both sides.
Well, and Scotland would leave.
You know, there are a couple of people standing outside my office door, and this is a true story. All right? They are holding up a blazer, which I've been missing for 3 weeks. It's been in the RMU Century Media newsroom.
Nice.
All right? True story.
Way to live up to the stereotype of the absent-minded academic, man. Well done.
What's your name again?
Yeah, exactly.
Holy cow. Let
me go grab that.
You're going to grab that for me? Thank you. Before somebody else walks away with it. Shows you how awake I was the night that
That was the Connor Lamb,
that was
Rick
Saccone
special
Ciccone election night. Yeah. Holy cow. So let's get back to this. The reason I
California
got
idiots.
California. The reason I got set off by that idea about Brexit is that Jurgen Klopp, who is the manager of Liverpool, one of the elite soccer franchises.
What is it, by the way,
country?
With European footballers and absolutely horrible names?
I don't know.
Klopp, you had Sepp Blatter.
Yes.
I mean,
he had the one guy who played for I think it was Manchester United for a few years, Jimmy Butt.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, American football is not much better. It's just. It's a little bit funnier to see, I guess.
Yes.
But I mean, at least those are somewhat funny. I mean, like Clinton, haha, dicks.
But you got to think. You
Ocho
gotta
Cinco.
Think, you got to think that Cinco. The people over there think the same thing about some of our names.
Oh, I'm sure.
Your lot do have a funny accent, as the Australians like to say.
Oh, absolutely.
So, but.
We got to get back to California.
Jurgen Klopp and the California. Jurgen Klopp was interviewed by The Guardian, one of the UK's top newspapers, and essentially said, what the heck's the matter with you people? I mean, you realize you made a mistake. Go back and change it. It doesn't work that way, Herr Klopp. Doesn't work that way. The Brexit is on track to be completed. It's done. Whether it should have happened is irrelevant. Whether you and I think the vote was wrong is irrelevant. The British people
I don't disagree. But again, it was a non-binding referendum.
Mm-hmm. Then nobody should.
Which means, when you say non-binding, it means they don't have to follow it.
Then David Cameron should have turned around and said, sorry, non-binding, I'm staying, too bad.
No, I think that's why he quit.
Because he didn't want to go through that.
Oh, he didn't want to be the one to preside over that.
Well, you know, lack of leadership on
apparently,
his part.
Neither did Nigel Farage as far as
that
goes.
Well, you know, and so poor Theresa May has been stuck being the punching bag over this entire
Indeed.
Idea. All right, so we agree that California leaving the Union is moronic.
Right.
We agree that... You know, the UK leaving the EU is probably moronic, but the decision was made and
right.
it should continue. Now let's really dive into the California issue that has you foaming at the mouth. You go first because I need to calm down.
I don't even remember this twit's name.
Randa Jarrar.
Jarrar, that was it. So this is a professor.
Unfortunately, she's demeaning the industry.
The craft, the profession.
Yes.
This is where I explain that the views expressed here belong solely to those of Dr. Soren Fanning and in no way represent Robert Morris University or the Board of Regents.
Board of Trustees.
Either one.
Exactly.
Both.
Go ahead.
Neither. Whatever. You know? So this
He's taking his glasses off, folks.
This individual chose... the day of the announcement that former First Lady Barbara Bush had died at the age of 92,
mm-hmm.
to, how do I put this nicely? Oh, there's really
there
no,
is no way to put it
she
nicely.
She basically was dancing on her grave,
she
metaphorically
was,
speaking.
Metaphorically speaking.
Said she was glad she was dead, she's probably going to hell, yada, yada, yada.
She is, quote, a racist, unquote.
Yes.
She and her husband raised a, quote, war criminal, unquote. And I quote, and
this
glad
is, this
the
is
witch is dead,
This
unquote.
Is Dr. Jarrar. This is
Dr.
not
Dr. Jarrar's
us.
Tweets. Those right. are her tweets.
We are quoting.
Yes. Yes.
So my first instinct, what an idiot.
Agreed.
And I hope everyone heard the capital letters in there.
Agreed.
That said, should the person be fired? Let me explain something. It is not illegal to be a moron.
Mm-hmm.
It is not illegal to say something profoundly stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you are well within your right. Now, this does not actually get into First Amendment issues because no one's suggesting she be imprisoned.
And she can't be.
Right. But by the same token, everyone has every right to say, you know what? You're really being a bit of an ass.
Yes.
To put it mildly. So
here's where I just, really... Where my gears really got grinded.
ground.
That's a grounded, whatever the ground. Word is. Ground.
Ground. We're getting into like the past pluperfect here.
I know. I love it. It's like, you know, what the heck? We're going out with a bang today, you know? All right. I agree that the woman should not in any way face any legal sanction for her stupidity.
Right.
All right. Here's where.
And excessively poor taste.
Yes. Here's where I just, you know, went nuclear at the moment when I read this. She turned around then and then used academic freedom and her tenure at Fresno State University
God's sake.
To say to her critics, too bad, you can't fire me. I make $100,000 a year and you
can't. Whoa, back that up.
She's paid $100,000 a year. That's what she says. I'll have to accept that.
Heck of a lot more money than I do.
All right. So, but anyhow, yeah, but would you want to have the cost of living of California?
No, valid.
There you go. So anyhow, she turns around and she says, ha ha, go ahead and contact the university president. Tell him how upset you are. But it doesn't matter because I have academic freedom and I have tenure and you can't fire me.
Now we do have to pause for a moment and commend Dr. Girard for her efficiency. It is very rare you get both arrogance and stupidity in the same package.
Indeed.
So if nothing else, I mean, at least she's saving us time.
Time. So to which the university said, look, we in no way, shape, or form defend or support the woman in terms of the words that she has spoken. And we will examine what sanctions, if any, can be directed her way. Now, here's the important thing. For people listening who do not know what tenure means, explain why for folks like you and me, that is one hell of a big deal and not something you should just throw around.
You don't throw that around.
What
was her specialty, by the way?
Creative writing.
I'm just glad it wasn't journalism or history.
I know. I really would have gone off at that point.
I will say this. The point of tenure is the university recognizes that you have made valuable enough contributions to the field of whatever. In my case, it would be world history. In your case, it would be journalism.
Mm-hmm.
To say, all right, you know what you're doing. You're clearly met all of our professional standards when it comes to how to research. Therefore, what tenure does is it protects you from being fired for publishing things that are true but unpopular.
Exactly.
That's all it means.
Exactly.
It does not give you, you know, you do not suddenly have magic diplomatic immunity. You know, you do not have the monopoly, get out of jail free card. Mm-hmm. It just means if I were to do research and I were to uncover evidence that supports the idea, and I'm, by the way, this is purely made up, it's just for the sake of argument.
Agreed.
That Lord Tennyson, while writing during his most creative period, in some ways engaged in questionable activities with barnyard animals. I could publish that. He didn't, by the way, at least as far as we know. But I could publish that and then not lose my job from all the enraged Tennyson fans out there.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's what really angered me about Randa Girard, was that she essentially doubled down on this idea of I'm untouchable.
She made all of us look bad.
She made the profession look bad. You are listening to episode 28 of Upon Further Review with
the Podcast Profs.
And you are still
Soren Fanning, your friendly neighborhood historian.
And I am still Anthony Moretti, your slightly cooler in the head than when I walked in here a few minutes ago.
Yeah, but there's still those visual heat waves. Although, in all fairness, it's not surprising. You still have hair to like hold that heat in. My I don't.
You're a little follically challenged. Is that what you're implying?
And getting worse every year.
Well, you know, it could be worse.
Oh, absolutely.
There are a lot of stuff to worry about. And that voice who's remaining unusually quiet over there. John Rowland, anything to add?
At this point, no.
Okay, fine. Thanks for being here.
He has the student equivalent of tenure, though. You know,
he's graduating.
Yeah,
in 10
he's getting
days.
Out of here.
Yeah, I also haven't followed any of these too much. Like, I knew about the professor, and I know what she said, but I haven't followed up on any of
that's
it.
All right.
So
not worth following up.
That's what my anger is for. No. All right. A important, sadly tragic event took place outside of Nashville. Well, basically inside the city limits of Nashville, Tennessee, which is the second issue that we wanted to discuss this week. Long story short, a gunman walked into a Waffle House Sunday, late Saturday night, early Sunday morning.
Something like that.
I forget the timeline exactly. And shot
what,
up the place.
What we call stoner dinner.
Yeah. Shot up the place. Killing
four
and injuring
two.
Six total people. I knew I had the number six in my head for some reason. Now, again, we're not going to turn this into a discussion about guns. We have had that discussion on this podcast too many times.
Although the person who disarmed him was unarmed.
Yes, yes. We're going to talk about him, but we're not going to talk about the gun rights issue. Right. We have had this discussion on this podcast. You've read about it on my blog. People know what I think. People know what Soren thinks. So...
But I still like my solution better.
Well, that's
true. You can own all the black powder muskets you want.
You can have all the muskets you want, exactly, because that's part of what the Second Amendment is all
about.
That's
right.
All right, so. But there are two issues that we want to call attention to this morning. And again, under the guise of the theme of words matter.
Indeed.
Let's talk first about the hero.
Oh, yeah.
Who is largely...
his name is James Shaw Jr.
He's largely invisible in the media spotlight. You talk about that, and then I'll talk about what the president has or has not said.
Well, first of all, he when being interviewed, this is a guy who, with no weapons, actually wrestled the weapon out of the shooter's hands, allowed the shooter to be taken into custody, suffered injuries, relatively minor, I mean, considering gunshot
nasty
wounds.
Nasty gash in his hand.
Oh, yeah. Well, nasty. I mean, again, relatively minor.
In comparison, yeah.
Compared to a grapefruit-sized hole in somebody's chest, that's fairly minor. But still, suffered personal injury in an attempt to save others. And then immediately, when he was interviewed, said, "I'm not a hero, I'm just a regular guy who was in the right place," which is, let's face it, something every hero actually says.
Precisely.
And so the guy is a hero by any stretch of the imagination.
His daring and his humility at the same time.
Humanity.
Humanity, yeah, let's not forget about that.
So, I mean, so that's a classic case of action speaking far louder than the words.
Mm-hmm.
But in this instance, and then I'll sort of punt it back over to you, we're not so much talking about words mattering as a lack of words that matter almost as much.
Two things struck me about, and again, this idea of James Shaw being largely invisible.
Might have something to do with the fact that he's a black man.
Well, I was going to leave that outside the door and
no, I'm bringing it in.
Yeah, yeah. It was
like a dog out in the rain.
It was, you know? it was so obvious that, you know, it was like, you didn't even have to say it, if you know what I mean. Two things strike me about the president's silence on this issue. Number one.
Because we haven't heard
anything.
And let's face it, this president is not known for his reticence.
Right.
Or his editing on Twitter.
Or his lack of decorum on Twitter.
Right.
You know, two things strike me. Number one is the fact that the president had nothing to say to support James Shaw. Nothing. Right. Not way to go. Not we need more Americans like you. Not, hey, you deserve a chance to, when you're, you know, feeling better, you're a guest at the White House and Melania and I are going to have you for dinner.
Right.
Or, you know, something. Something to say, you matter. But there also was the silence of the president on the whole idea of the, and, you know, thoughts and prayers to me is an empty phrase. I've heard it.
It is an empty phrase,
you know, but for this president to have nothing to say at all,
not even an empty phrase.
Yeah. He's blank.
Here's the thing. You know, we talk about words matter. Actions matter more. Here's the thing. If you consistently endorse policies that disproportionately hurt people of color, if you disproportionately defend white supremacists but do not defend those who fight back against them, pardon me.
Or if you are probably a racist yourself.
If you continue to act in a consistently and publicly racist manner, at some point, there is no difference between that and being an actual racist. You know, at some point, this is not contrary to Alex Jones's defense theory. He is not, you know, you are not a public entertainer.
And you are the president of the United States. You don't host InfoWars.
Well, and to be honest, I mean, a member of his own party, Trey Gowdy, who I'd like to also point out investigated the whole Benghazi incident for, what, 5.5 years?
And what did he find?
Butkus.
There you go. But, and we're not talking about the former linebacker for the Chicago Bears.
No. By the way, that gets back to our weird sports names again. Dick Butkus. Yeah, you know?
Just keep going.
Yeah, I'm just going to move on with that.
Because if he walks through that door, oh boy.
Well, he's had like both hips replaced. I think even I'm still a little bit faster than him at his age, mm-hmm. thank God. But even Trey Gowdy told the president's lawyer, if your client is innocent, then would he please start acting like it? And again, this is his actions are speaking far more loudly.
What do you make of Michael Cohen?
Oh, boy.
If we're going to talk about Cohen, can we also talk about the 25-tweet tirade this weekend?
Oh, well, sure.
By all means.
Sure. Why don't you start on the tirade? Go ahead.
Now, I don't remember what all of it said.
None of us do.
No. Don't read too many tweets at once. It's like eating like too much ice cream. It's not good.
But the big thing that I remember that he said, not explicitly, was, Cohen's a great guy unless he doesn't back me up. But mm-hmm. look, I pardoned this 100-year-old, like dead for almost 100 years person. I'll do the same for you because it's that easy for me. Just don't spoil anything.
Well, and by the way, if you don't think for an instant that Bob Mueller saw that tweet and filed it under Exhibit O, in the upcoming, file that under corrupt intent, example number 19. I mean, that's
1,642. You mean not 19?
Yeah, something like that.
No, go ahead.
But more to the point, I love the fact that how the president's closest friends and advisors, the people who know him best, zero people have put forward the argument that he doesn't need to worry about Michael Cohen turning state's evidence because he has nothing to hide. Nobody has made that argument.
And why do you think that is, my good friend Soren Fanning?
Well, there's his Donald Trump's entire professional business career. I mean, just take your pick. But most importantly, what the Cohen raid did is it meant that what now happens with Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III or Rod Rosenstein or Robert Mueller III does not matter anymore. Mm-hmm. It matters, but he could sack all three of them, and it's not going to affect his legal fortunes one iota because all of this evidence is now in the possession of the prosecutors of the Southern District of New York. These were search warrants, three separate ones, approved by three separate judges, all of whom determined that there was A, reasonable evidence to suggest that a crime was being committed, and B, that if requests were made, the evidence would be destroyed. That is damning.
Is it too late to fire Bob Mueller?
Technically, no. Effectively, yes.
I agree. I think I think we're at that point. Now, I need to bash the Democrats a little bit.
By all means.
Because, the Democrats have a lot to be bashed about. What in the world are you suing Russia, WikiLeaks, and the Trump campaign for the 2016 presidential election? Get over it. You lost. Move ahead to 2018.
I agree. Now, to play devil's advocate.
That's my job.
On to our next topic. No, but in fairness, I mean, if the party can prove that it was wrongly damaged, they do have standing to sue. I mean, this is our lead. Now, I frankly would spend my money doing other things.
Yep, like trying to win seats.
Yeah. Which, by the way, if you saw the special election results last mm-hmm. night, second verse, same as the first. Mm-hmm. Once again, yes, the Republican won in Arizona's special election, but this was a district that the president carried by 22 percentage mm-hmm. points. We are seeing, on average, a 14 to 15 point swing toward the Democrats, which Charles Cook of the Cook Political Report conservatively estimated puts some 128 seats in play in the House of Representatives.
Which is why I say you look at 2016 and you say, look, whatever Russia did, whatever Trump did, whatever WikiLeaks did, it is over and done with. We are going to, though, subtly use that as a way to bash this notion, or not to bash, to enhance this notion that Trump is trying to bash democracy wherever he possibly can. And we're going to use, and I say we, I'm not a member of the Democratic Party. I'm just using that as a
If you
as
were
a
strategist.
If you were a strategist. Right. I would be talking about, let's make sure we get as many dollars into campaigns that look promising. Let's definitely make sure we hold every seat that we have. And let's potentially take the Senate, or at minimum make it as close to 50-50 as possible. And it's pretty darn close to begin with. Or erode more support in the House. So even if we don't get a majority in the House, whoever the new Speaker of the House is will be leading an even smaller majority than Paul Ryan has had.
Well, Jim Clyburn, who is a senior member of the Democratic leadership, civil rights icon,
mm-hmm.
publicly came out and said that if we don't take the House, we need new leadership. And mm-hmm. he's counting himself in that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you are talking about a political party, by the way, who, while their symbol is the donkey, it really should be Eeyore.
I mean, they've been known to shoot themselves in the donkey, if you know what I mean.
I've long said that the Democratic Party's secret handshake is the hand ring.
Yeah.
And never underestimate.
Not the Montgomery Burns kind.
No,
excellent.
No. The Eeyore, it's not going to work. And, you know, this is a party that has excelled at snatching defeat from the jaws of victory.
Mm-hmm.
So I would actually make the argument that if the Democratic National Committee just disappeared for 12 months, I don't think it would hurt anyone's chances.
Except for funneling money, yeah. Presuming they funnel it the right way.
But even so, I mean, I think this is one of those instant. I mean, all the storm warnings are out there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a note of caution. So there's good news for both parties in this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least, good news for the Democratic Party, and then good news potentially for Donald Trump,
mm-hmm.
Which not the same thing as the Republican Party. I would be shocked if the Democrats do not at least retake the House of Representatives come November.
See, I'm still not convinced that's going to happen.
So we now have prediction number two.
Yep.
I am actually predicting this. I'm going to predict that the Democrats will take back control of the House of Representatives.
All right, let's go down this trail. And let's say you're right. Please tell me Nancy Pelosi will not be the Speaker.
If I had the magic eight ball, it would say tough to see. I don't know.
Oh, Lord.
There has been the beginning of a movement. I don't think any of those discussions are going to begin in earnest until after the November midterm elections. I think there's a better chance than ever that there will be a new Democratic leader in the House of Representatives.
Now, that said,
I'd like to point something out. The last two big midterm waves, 1994 and 2010, both of those instances saw the incumbent president reelected.
I know.
Now, that said, this president is anything but typical, anything but ordinary. There is no reason to suspect that, because unlike Barack Obama in 2010 and Bill Clinton in 1994, Donald Trump lost the popular vote. That is something that neither of those previous presidents had to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an imperfect analogy.
Agreed.
So, but just nobody on anywhere in the political spectrum should be complacent at this point.
Nope. You are listening to episode 28 of Upon Further Review with the Podcast Profs. He is Soren Fanning. I am Anthony Moretti. We are running out of time with John Rowland because John wants to graduate.
And well, get on with his life.
Don't
start
you,
adulting.
I mean, don't like, isn't this like adulting for you though?
If I could not graduate and not ruin my life simultaneously, that's probably what I would do. But since
how
these
you're
aren't
not
be mutually exclusive things, I don't get a real choice.
How are you not giving the commencement address with philosophy like that? That's impressive.
For one, I like to stay very unknown.
Well, that's okay. True.
For two,
I'm not big on talking.
Okay.
Valid.
Fair enough.
Absolutely.
Fair enough. All right. So we've got this notion of James Shaw and the silent president on a tragedy. And, you know, sadly, we're reaching the stage where we are maybe we are dismissive of gun tragedies in the United States. It seems like it's, Sunday it's Nashville, big deal almost. And it shouldn't be, but I'm saying, I wonder just if we're just, you know, whatever to this.
Several years ago, a whole bunch of kindergarten and first grade kids got massacred and nothing changed.
Nothing changed.
After Sandy Hook,
I don't know if you guys heard about this. I assume you did. Alex Jones finally reversed on Sandy Hook being a bunch of actors.
Oh, because he was
being sued.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. He had some sense of it's time to end the charade. Now, granted, is he still going to get sued? Oh, almost definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. I mean, mm-hmm.
But it's so amazing to finally see that he's finally turning tail on one of the belief that got him popular.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Barron, but I mean, you know, he's made a career of frothing at the mouth about
nothing.
Every ridiculous, boneheaded, moronic thought to come down the pipe. Here, okay, boys and girls, please listen to Uncle Fanning on this one.
He's an uncle now.
Metaphorically speaking.
You are an uncle, though.
That is true. Not just that. I'm a great uncle. Can you believe that?
I know. We need pictures.
Yes, because, oh my God, the oldest is now going to start kindergarten. Anyway, but listen to me. Conspiracies almost invariably collapse of their own weight before they even get close to their objective. Conspiracies, by definition, the chance of a conspiracy falling apart goes up geometrically, not arithmetically. It doesn't double. It squares with every additional person you bring in.
Yes.
So 99% of conspiracy theories out there, here's the thing. You know people. People are not that competent.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, my favorite comeback to the whole NASA faked the moon landing thing.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like the Soviets wouldn't have called that out in a hot instant.
Mm-hmm.
Was the argument that, yes, NASA did hire Stanley Kubrick to direct the moon landing, but he was such a perfectionist they filmed on location.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Never mind the fact that if you get out with a telescope, you can see the LEM descent stage on the frickin' moon now.
Yeah, but still, it's fake news is good. All right? It makes for Alex Jones's happiness.
Is fake news. Is work of moose and squirrel.
Now, we talk about James Shaw. We talk about the silence of the president in terms of what happened in Nashville. And then how fast people were to comment about what took place on the streets of Toronto 48-ish hours ago, where another loser rented a van and drove into a very popular sort of north of downtown district of Toronto and mowed down a whole bunch of people. Killed 10, injured at least 15, but the signature moment was when this 25-year-old guy got out of his van, pointing what was probably a gun at one Toronto cop, screaming that he wanted him to shoot him in the head. He wanted death by cop or suicide by cop, and the cop refused, and the cop stepped closer and closer and closer and closer to him before he finally tackled him to the ground. Why did the president respond to that with thoughts and prayers? Because the suspect
I'm a
Canadian citizen, by the way.
Yes, indeed.
But who traces his roots to Armenia, and so therefore,
given our president's encyclopedic knowledge of geography, saw a country that ended in Ia, saw that he, you know, presumably held up some paint swatches to see how tan he was.
That's the idea.
And then realized that he was somewhere you know, south of eggshell, and then therefore it was, you know, clearly terrorist Islamic extremism. Never mind the fact that Armenians overwhelmingly are what religion?
Christian.
Aha, thank you.
Minor problem.
Yeah, a little bit.
Doesn't fit the narrative, as they say. So that is the dilemma that we face. A president who remains silent when, and there's no polite way to say this, when white people are accused
criminals.
Of being criminals. And I say accused in the legal sense.
Right.
And is very quick to say something when non-white people are criminals.
Three words for you. Very fine people.
Oh, I thought you were going to say racist.
No. I'm referring back to last summer at Charlottesville.
Yes.
Very fine people.
Very fine people, those neo-Nazis.
And okay, guys.
And he's had conversations with Frederick Douglass.
I had no idea Ouija boards were part of the White House now.
Was that Nancy Reagan? No, never mind.
It was, by the way.
Never mind.
No, but I mean, it's... There are some things that should be absolute no-brainers in politics. Mm-hmm. Barack Obama famously indicated one of them. Never put anything on your head.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Dukakis. You know, is like,
what do you think of Melania Trump's white hat, by the way?
I don't comment on fashion.
Okay, because I don't have a clue about it.
I was
going
to say, you and me.
Yeah, we're barking up the wrong tree here.
Did it keep the sun off her face? Yes. Great. Super. Moving on.
There you have it.
Although, by the way, speaking of action speaking louder than words, we must talk about the First Lady at the funeral for Barbara Bush.
Because she actually looked like, and I use this word very politely, she was enjoying herself. Now, don't misunderstand me. She wasn't happy being at the funeral.
Right.
But she was sitting next to, again, I'm using the word, you're welcome to disagree with me, a gentleman.
Yes. She was sitting next to the 44th president of the United States. The Obamas were there. The entire Bush clan was there, obviously. The Clintons were there. And it was collegial. And it was polite. And most importantly, her husband was not there. And if you contrast that with the famous screen grab from Trump's inauguration, there are times I want to go to Melania. I think someone needs to slip her a note. Just blink four times if you need help.
Yes.
It was the first genuine smile I think I've ever seen out of that woman.
That picture of all of them afterwards at whatever the reception was for her, for her meaning Mrs. Bush. Did anybody notice that President 43?
George W.
Bush had one arm around the shoulder of his wife and the other around the shoulder of Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
That was not accidental, I don't think.
No.
I don't think that was accidental at all.
Well, I mean, remember, the Bushes and the Clintons have actually grown fairly close together on a personal level.
Yes, they have.
And plus, if you look back during Barack Obama's presidency, anytime the Obamas were hosting both Laura and George W. Bush, it was incredibly warm.
Yes.
Incredibly polite.
Yes.
I have seen more photos of George W. Bush and Michelle Obama laughing together.
Yes.
I definitely get the sense that when, and I know we have to wrap up because we have predictions to go
to. Words matter.
Words matter. Actions are even louder. Mm-hmm. And I just have the feeling that whenever Donald J. Trump leaves office, that former President's Club. Let's put it this way. He's going to be sitting by himself.
By himself.
A lot.
Yeah. I mean, sadly, because of age and health, you know, Mr. Carter and the elder Mr. Bush. You know, hey, look, none of us is guaranteed tomorrow.
Right. But, well, you'd think Mr. Carter, but man, that guy.
He keeps going.
Drop-kicked brain cancer.
God, I tell you, I just.
Talk about clean living.
He is still, of all of our presidents, living or past, he is still the one president I'd like to meet.
He's a humanitarian in every sense of the word. And by the way, George H. Bush is recovering, they now say.
Yes. Good for him. Absolutely.
Excellent.
All right, here we go. the summer predictions. And we're going to go sort of all over the place with this.
Sounds good.
All right. Let's begin with a fun and a humorous one. All right.
Okay.
Which country wins soccer's World Cup?
The obvious answer is Italy.
Except
they're not
Italy
in it.
Ain't in it.
I'm going to defer on this one. You know more than I do about the World Cup.
I suspect Brazil is always a team to beat. I suspect the French will be very strong.
I was thinking France.
The Germans will be very strong. There will be no Americans.
There's never Americans.
I was
even when they're there, they're just there.
I was going to say, that's not exactly a bold prediction.
They're basically last place every year because we just don't care about it here. We have big manly football.
Manly football.
Yeah.
Mutant rugby.
Quotes around manly, especially because rugby
and football.
Exists.
I suspect we're looking at one of the two traditional South American powers, Brazil or Argentina.
Probably.
Against one of the traditional European powers, France.
I would say France.
Or Germany.
I'm going to go with France.
Guess. All right. Does Robert Mueller wrap up his investigation before the November elections?
No, but I expect by Memorial Day.
Okay, which is only a month.
You know, definitely before Bastille Day, but I think before Memorial Day, he's going to issue his report on obstruction.
And so let's keep that train going. What do you think that report's going to find?
It's not going to exonerate the president, I'll tell you that much.
Okay, but is it going to be enough to indict this man in any way?
Okay, so I'm going to have to jump ahead to one of my big summer predictions.
Okay.
Sometime in the next 12 months, the Supreme Court of the United States is going to have to formally decide whether you can indict a sitting president.
All right.
And my suspicion is this Mueller report on obstruction will be the impetus for that.
All right, let's get back to the Supreme Court because that is a fascinating discussion about constitutional rights and the power of the Constitution and where some of these judges might or might not fall in this issue. All right, a third prediction or question. John, you want to weigh in on the Mueller case?
Well, I'm not going to say anything about what he said with, like, the Memorial Day.
Okay.
But I'd expect something to come out before the midterm elections.
Okay.
Just something big enough to sway people who are already on the edge to lean away from anyone who vocally supports Trump.
All right. Good stuff.
And once again, no one is betting on exoneration of the president. I would like to point this out.
Yeah, you notice that? I don't think he's coming out clean on this one. All right. Here is another slightly fun one for you.
Good.
Do the Pittsburgh Pirates continue their unexpected solid start, or do they become the lovable or hateable Pittsburgh Pirates?
Actually, my guess is neither one. I think it's going to get a lot rockier.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll, just when the fans are ready to throw in the towel, they'll go on a tear.
Mm-hmm.
Never
mind. Bye-bye.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be one of those up and down summers until we get to about the beginning of the fall semester, at which point
nobody will care.
Well, they will be revealed to not be attending the playoffs this year.
No, I think the Pirates are living on borrowed time.
By the way, how is the record doing so far?
12-10, if memory is kind to me. 12-9 offhand. I think it's 12-9.
I mean, for them, anything not negative is good.
It's good.
But I mean,
I just think they're living on borrowed time.
Yeah, I agree.
Go ahead.
I imagine that what's happening for them now is the immediate adrenaline rush of, all right, we're more or less a new team. We don't have any of our old players, or at least not the ones that people know
by
name.
The signature pieces.
So there's been the need to impress, but as that goes on and they become the standard players of the Pirates, I think they're just going to kind of get, like, they're not going to be complacent, but you can only expend 100%. So much of the time. You can't do it all the time.
Although, I don't know if you heard this, but the owner of the Pirates just traded away the Allegheny River for 6 vintage BB babies.
And probably some minor league players, right? Okay, here's another one for you, all right, on the subject of what might or might not happen over the summer. Does the U.S. step down from this tariffs kick that it's been on? Or more specifically, does the president step down from the tariffs kick that he's been on?
Effectively, yes, but without announcing it, because that would mean he would lose face.
Because he doesn't want to admit he was wrong.
Right. So there'll be this exemption and then that exemption, and it'll all be very sotto voce, and it'll all be very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
But I think by the time we get to September, we're off.
So does that mean Dow 26,000?
I'm thinking not.
Does the U.S. attack Syria again?
Well, that depends entirely on what Fox and Friends tells the president to do. I mean, I hate to say this, but you got to realize the decisions on War and Peace are now being made by Steve Doocy.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, so there you go. Bear in mind. Now, that said, I have a prediction. I hope with all my fervent desires is wrong.
All right.
I think on May 12th, the president's going to blow up the Iran deal.
I fear that's going to, and that was actually going to be my next question for you. What happens to the Iran deal?
And I think once that blows up, please understand, the only thing pulling out of that deal is going to do
is ruin the good thing that it's doing.
Is going to make it much easier for Iran to get nuclear capability.
Mm-hmm.
Period, full stop. That's the only thing this is mm-hmm. going to do.
As John Oliver put it simply, 10 is bigger than 0. They yes. currently have 0. They could have 10.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Do we want to give them 10 or let them have 0 and then try to rework another deal at the end of this deal, which is, what, 10 years away?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Roughly.
But even that, you know, bear in mind, that's just the initial framework. It can be extended. Here's the thing. We have inspectors on the ground now in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
There, it's mind-blowing. By the way, how are you going to get any country to sign any agreement with the United States with this particular crew of numbnuts in charge if they just decide, hey, we don't like the deal, we're canceling it?
Okay.
We will have no credibility.
Yeah, I mean, the Iranian people hated this deal. Like, the fact that we got this was impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine trying to get, oh, you can't have anything anymore, mm-hmm. period. We cut down what they had by
90%. President Trump would melt down the Statue of Liberty if he knew Barack Obama liked it.
Yes. And Obama probably does like it, which is scary. All right. Does the president ultimately meet with Kim Jong-un, and does anything come of it?
Yes and no. That's my
respectively
guess. Yes.
I'm inclined to believe, to go with John.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he will meet with Kim Jong-un, and for a brief shining moment, Kim Jong-un will be the sanest man in the room. I'm actually afraid something will come of it, and let me explain what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I actually agree that we should talk to countries we don't like.
As do I.
I am a fan of diplomacy. I was a fan of diplomacy under Obama. I'm a fan of diplomacy now.
I agree.
I am not upset that this president is going to meet with the leader of North Korea. I am upset that this president referred to Kim Jong-un as an honorable man.
Mm.
God, could you imagine the reaction if Obama had said that?
Mm.
But my fear
Words
is...
Words matter.
My fear is, here's the thing. He admires Kim Jong-un. He admires Vladimir Putin. He admires Xi Jinping. He wants to be like them. Here's my fear. I think Trump will give away the store. He'll agree to pull U.S. forces out of South Korea. He'll agree to lift all the sanctions in exchange for the equivalent of a pinky promise that North Korea will at some point get rid of its nuclear arsenal.
Mm-hmm. You got time for a couple. I've sort of been dominating the questions. You have any summer?
We'll go to the lightning round then.
All right, lightning round.
Okay, this year's World Series champion.
Cleveland Indians.
Really?
Over the LA Dodgers. I'm not straying from that pick.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so the tribe gets one.
Yes.
All right. pardon me. All right, next question. Does the economy continue to chug along by the midterms, or do we hit a bit of a recession?
Well, if gas prices are any indication, and if the jobs announcement of the last couple of months are any indication, we're slowing down.
Yep.
I don't think we slow down into recession territory before November of 18, though.
Okay. So, all right, speaking of midterms, lightning round.
Okay.
Which party controls the House of Representatives?
Come January, whatever, of 2019?
Yes.
Republicans.
Okay. Which party controls the Senate, and by how much?
It's give or take 51-49 either way, probably Republican.
Okay. Sounds good. Next question. Have you seen The Post, the movie?
No, I haven't. I must.
It's spectacular.
I must.
It is spectacular. And by the way, quite timely.
It is indeed.
So, my final question. At what point, or have we reached it already, does print media become officially niche?
I am of the opinion that give or take 10 years from now, you're looking at maybe a half dozen truly printed newspapers along the lines of what we see today, that in almost every mid-size and small-size city, they will go to a paywall online-only delivery system, which will cut their costs tremendously, and will necessitate a significant conversation about what we want Google and Yahoo and Facebook and Twitter and organizations like that that essentially will give away content for free. What are we going to do with those in the next 10 years or maybe 20 years? I don't have an immediate answer to that one.
Well, I appreciate that. That's one of the reasons I asked about The Post,
mm-hmm.
because in it you see the old 1970s era printing apparatus. And these
chugging in the background.
Oh, my. You actually get a nice close-up view mm-hmm. of these. I call them dinosaurs in both senses of the word. Outmoded, but majestic in their sheer bulk.
Mm-hmm.
It's really quite intriguing. You also get a sense of how much technology's changed.
Yes, yes.
All the rotary phones and pay phones and things like that.
You know what a rotary phone is, don't you, John? No, never mind.
No, I do, actually.
Never mind.
I've never dialed on one, but I know how to dial on one.
God, that was.
Oh, last question.
All right,
this is the last question of the pod.
Okay,
is 2018 the year that the millennials firmly take control of the American electorate as the single biggest voting bloc?
I'm more inclined to say 2020.
Yeah, right. I'm with that because I still don't think my age realizes mm-hmm. what impact them not voting has.
Mm-hmm.
You would think after 16 it would have been.
If the Democrats can find a Barack Obama-like candidate
sure.
who just wows millennials, it's possible in 2020. I just don't see it happening this year. This election is going to be about get every freaking Democrat you can get out there
right.
and or independent or Republican or whatever to you know tip the scales in the Democrats' favor.
Plus also people my age we haven't been old enough to realize how much mm-hmm. Senate or House matters.
Matters.
We get it matters, but we're still coming out of school right. where they force down you, hey, the president's the biggest job, so mm-hmm. obviously it's the most important.
Right.
Which, technically not wrong, because he can veto things.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, he can get vetoed on that too, but he's seen as the top of the pyramid. Nothing gets through him without him.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of school days, and I know we got to wrap up, but we have mm-hmm. a slightly melancholy event that happened today.
Mm-hmm.
The death of the creator of Schoolhouse Rock.
Mm-hmm. I know. I saw mm-hmm. that last night.
So.
You had to end on a downer? It's the last one of the spring semester. You're ending on that? I mean, it's an important thing, but like now we got to go to the whole semester with, what's the last thing you talked about? The guy who died.
Okay, in better news, Tom Hanks is going to play Mr. Rogers in an upcoming biopic.
Oh, really?
Now that is interesting.
Huh. I didn't even know that was being made. Yep.
That's a little happier. Again,
that's a lot happier.
Not disrespecting.
Because remember, if you remember last year, Fred Rogers was one of our final four.
Yes,
in the greatest American who ever lived.
All time. Yes. That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
It has been a wonderful semester.
It has been. This wraps up not only episode 28, of Upon Further Review with
the Podcast Profs.
But this wraps up this triumvirate.
Yes, the partnership. Congratulations, John. Well deserved.
Thank you.
So provided
I'm sure I'll be happier about it in a couple months, but at this point in life,
you just want to get to May 6th and be done.
Kind of.
Yeah.
I want to get my goodbyes out of the way so that they can be behind me.
Agreed.
But well, until then.
Well, you helped get the podcast off the ground, so we salute you, sir. Congratulations. Best of luck. Don't be a stranger.
Indeed. And we will reconstitute this in the fall semester. However, if items of importance come up, you and I will have to somehow find a way to make this work during.
Listen,
during
if we got to burrow into your basement and hack together some sort of like, you know, shortwave radio thing, nice. We'll get her done.
We'll make that happen.
If you guys want to try to do something in the summer, reach out to me. If I'm free, I'll join you.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
I'll take that.
He is Soren Fanning. He is John Roland. I am Anthony Moretti. We hope you have enjoyed 28 episodes of Upon Further Review with the Podcast Profs. We're sort of going on hiatus.
Summer vacation.
Summer
is what
vacation.
It's called.
We're coming back in the fall. You do have a safe, fun, and enjoyable summer, and we will talk to you next time on Upon Further Review with
the Podcast Profs.
Indeed.